Welcome to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. I'm your host, John Lovering, and on this track, I invite you to go back in time with me to 1947. July 21st, 1947, to be exact. It was a Monday. Now, if you were born in 1947, how old are you in dog years? That's a question you probably have thought about a lot. On average, because different breeds of dogs live different lifespans, a dog will age 5 or 6 years for every human year. So you would be about 365 to 438 dog years in age this year. Congratulations, nothing like living a long life. Oh, and on July 21st, but in 1925, a high school biology teacher, John T. Stopes, was found guilty of teaching evolution in class in what was known as the, cleverly, Stopes trial. Go figure. And he was fined $100. Given that the average teacher made about $1,850 a year, that was 5% of his annual salary, compared to the average starting salary now of $39,249, that would have been a fine of nearly $2,000. But I digress. On this track, we return to the very popular sitcom My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard, debuting on CBS Radio on April 11, 1947, and continuing until August 23, 1954, over a 7-year run. The radio show was so successful that it soon grew into films and television. Marie Wilson portrayed the title character, Irma Petersen, on radio in 2 films and a television series, and Joan Banks played Jane Stacy in the episode you're going to hear, which is entitled Piano Lessons for Junior. Each week the show began with a level-headed character, Jane Stacy, narrating a misadventure of her innocent, bewildered roommate, Irma, who was not the brightest stenographer from Minnesota. The two central characters were in their mid-20s. After the two met in the first episode, they lived together in an apartment rented from their Irish landlady, Mrs. O'Reilly, played by Jane Morgan, who also played Mrs. Davis on Our Miss Brooks. Irma's boyfriend, Al, John Brown, also known as Digger O'Dell, the Undertaker in The Life of O'Reilly, was a loser, barely on the right side of the law, who had not held a job in years. Only someone like Irma could love Al, who nicknamed her Chicken. Al had many crazy get-rich-quick schemes, which never worked. Al planned to marry Irma at some future date so she could support him. Professor Kropotkin, played by Hans Conried, the Russian violinist at the Princess Burlesque Theater, lived upstairs. He greeted Jane and Irma with remarks like, "My two little bunnies, with one being an Easter bunny and the other being Bugs Bunny." The professor regularly insulted Mrs. O'Reilly, complained about his room, and made an effort to get her to forget about his back rent by pretending that he had a romantic interest in her. Irma worked for a lawyer named Mr. Clyde, who was played by Alan Reed. She had such an odd filing system that once when Clyde fired her, which he did often, he had to hire her back again because he couldn't find anything. Useless at dictation, Irma mangled whatever Clyde dictated. Asked how long she'd been working with Clyde, Irma said, "Well, when I first went to work with him, he had curly black hair, and it got gray. And now it's snow white. I guess I've been with him, about 6 months." Irma became less bright as the program continued. She also developed an annoying tendency to whine or cry whenever something went wrong, which was at least every show. Jane Stacy, Irma's friend, had a romantic inclination for her boss, millionaire Richard Rhinelander, played by Leif Erikson, but he had no real interest in her. Okay, here is what you have been waiting for. From July 21st, 1947, My Friend Irma in Piano Lessons for Junior is now about to be rebroadcast for you on Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. My name is John Lovering, and I thank you for listening.
The Armed Forces Radio Service presents My Friend Irma, starring Marie Wilson as Irma, Joan Banks as Jane, and Hans Conried as the lovable Professor Kropotkin.
Friendship, friendship, just perfect friendship, when other friendships have been forgotten, theirs will still be hot.
Gentleman got up and and I just couldn't turn him down. Oh, Jean, I have wonderful news.
Really?
I've decided to better myself.
Oh, wonderful. You're going to give up Al?
Oh, no, Jane. I've made up my mind to have culture and social position. So I took my last $30 out of the bank and enrolled in a school for piano lessons.
Piano lessons?
Mm-hmm.
Irma, look in the corner.
Hmm? Oh, it's not there.
No.
Oh, well, you probably mislaid it someplace.
Yes, I swept it under the rug while I was cleaning. Mm. Look, sweetie, I'm trying to get this situation clear. I sent the piano back to cut down expenses, and you have to pick this time to take piano lessons. Irma, I can't understand how you could do a thing like that. You never touched that piano.
Well, it got me all confused. It has three pedals on the bottom, and I only have two legs.
Irma, let's not waste any more time. The piano is gone, and you need your money. So go back to the music school and tell them you've changed your mind.
Oh, Jean, they won't give the money back. You can see what it says right here in this circular.
Let me see. Look. The Beethoven School of Music. Sam Beethoven, president.
Oh, they have a real nice slogan, haven't they, Jane?
Well, let me read it. If you have music in your heart and bones, who knows, you may be another Spike Jones. Oh, no. And look at this. Hours from 9 to 6, payments in advance, and positively no refunds.
I discussed that part about refunds with Mr. Beethoven, and he said the purpose of music is to make people happy, and that if he had to give back the money, it would make him very sad.
But, honey, what are you going to do? You're stuck with the lessons and you have no piano. What are you going to practice on?
Use a typewriter and hum.
Oh, sweetie, be sensible. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Janie and Irma. Proud like two little peacocks. One with her head in the air, the other with air in her head.
Why, Professor?
Oh, excuse me, Jenny. A little joke I found on a package of birdseed. Girls, I was wondering, could I borrow some wire to hang up a picture of Mrs. O'Reilly in my room?
Well, surely, but why the sudden affection for Mrs. O'Reilly? The
doctor's orders.
Doctor's orders?
Yeah, yeah. He put me on a diet, and her picture is the only thing that will spoil my appetite. What seems to be the trouble, girls?
Professor, I just sent the piano back because the payments were too large, and what do you think Irma did?
Signed up for piano lessons.
How did you guess?
I figured for Irma to be a logical step. Irma, darling, maybe you can get your money back. Huh?
Oh, no, there are no refunds, but it says on this circular that I can substitute something else for piano lessons. You're a professor. You're a musician, Professor. What do you suggest?
Well, please, let me look at the list, huh? Beethoven Music School. I knew a man who took that course, studied for 10 years, still couldn't learn to play an instrument.
Then the school didn't help him at all?
Well, Janie, yes and no. After 10 years, he was so mad that every time he saw someone play, he would wave his fist at him. Became one of the biggest conductors in America.
Oh. You see, Jane, I told you it was a good school. What course do you think I ought to take, Professor?
Well, here's something that sounds practical. Combination harp and drum lessons.
Practical?
Sure. Anyone who practices all day on the drum should also be prepared to play the harp.
Hello, Jane. Professor. Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey.
Say, Al, that's a beautiful coat. Where did you buy it?
Oh, thanks. Got it on an election bet.
Oh, you won it.
Well, not exactly. Another guy lost the bet, and I held his coat while he pushed a peanut down the street with his nose. Poor man, he didn't see the traffic signal turn green. Wouldn't have happened if he had worn a taillight. Say, what happened to the piano?
Oh,
Jane, turn it back. Oh, that's tough. Well, if my new deal comes through, we'll all be on Easy Street.
What is it this time, Al?
punching holes in Dixie cups and selling them for soup strainers?
Nothing so petty. This one can't miss. It's a special type television set for bars. It shows only half an image. So when you start seeing double, the picture will still be single. Well, what do you think of it?
Oh, it's wonderful, Al. Jane, don't you think he's a live wire?
No, but I'd like to see him holding on to one. Look, Al, if you really want to be helpful, see if you can get Irma's money back.
What money?
I paid $30 for piano lessons, but now that Jane has sent the piano back, I won't be able to hear what I'm playing.
Well, if we want to get that money back, Chicken, all we got to do is tell him a pathetic story, and it's got to work.
Are you sure, Al?
Why, certainly. Sob stories have worked all through history. Take Columbus. After he discovered America and came back to report to the Queen, she started to bawl him out. So he explained in these words, "Your Royal Highness, I know you meant us to go to India, but we got lost with no compass." Thus came the expression, "non-compass mentis."
Oh, brother.
You see, Jane, you think Al doesn't know anything. Well, this ought to prove it.
Good heavens, what was that?
That's Mrs. O'Reilly. She sounds like she's being killed.
Calm yourself. I had the same hope. But she's only singing. She won't tell me why.
Buddy.
Oh, Mrs. O'Reilly, why the sudden burst of song?
Why, don't you know it's almost time for the annual singing contest?
What singing contest?
Oh, it's a neighborhood thing, Al. The community center around the corner gives a $50 prize to the winner.
That's right. It's 72nd Street versus 73rd Street. And since it's a friendly affair, I'm entering the contest.
Mrs. O'Reilly, you are entering the contest?
And why not?
Look, Mrs. O'Reilly, just because you are built like the sextet from Lucia don't mean you can sing like that.
Oh, yes. For your information, I'd have you know I came in second last year. I would have won, but I had a frog in my throat.
Well, then it's your own fault. You should have kept still and let the frog sing.
Professor, let me see that circular.
Irma, what are you up to?
Now, let's see. Bagpipe, trombone, bugle. Oh, here it is. Vocal lessons.
Vocal lessons?
Well, Jean, I can't get my money back for the piano lessons, so maybe I can take vocal lessons for a couple of weeks and then try for the prize.
Irma, you can't even carry a tune.
Oh, I will go in for any of that heavy music. Miss O'Reilly, do you mind if I compete with you?
Oh, I'm used to competition.
Sure. Wasn't she in that sewing contest with Betsy Ross?
Oh, hush up, you. You know, Jane, I think Chicken's got a great idea.
Well, I suppose the money is lost anyway, so no harm can come from her trying.
Oh, thank you, Jane, and I'm going to try very hard. You can't tell what'll happen.
Oh, this is exciting. Wouldn't it be terrific if Chicken turned out to be a female Caruso?
Yes, Al, and then you'll be my man Friday.
You know, they say when most good singers sing, the glasses vibrate. But when Irma sings, you get the feeling the glasses are trying to run back into the cupboard. Deep in my heart, I know she hasn't got a chance to win the contest, and the money she gave the Beethoven Music School is down the drain, but there's always a chance that the judge of the contest may have worked at Atlantic City and will declare Irma the winner because she has the nicest legs. Which gives me the thought that if Irma were a cricket and would rub her legs together, she'd make better music than she does with her voice. Uh-oh, there she goes again.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. Gee, aren't those lyrics pretty, Jane?
Irma, are you sure this is what you want to do?
Oh, this song, my practice number. I can pick any song I want to for the audition. I may even sing an operatic number.
Opera? Do you know any?
My favorite is Laugh Clown Laugh from the opera Parcheesi.
Parcheesi. Oh, yes, that must be Italian for Pagliacci. Look, sweetie, I've already resigned myself to kissing that $30 goodbye, but as long as you insist on going through with this audition, don't you think you should try to sing something simple?
Well, there are three simple songs I like. I'm Just a Prisoner of Love, Why Not Take All of Me, and He's Too Fat for Me. Gee, all afternoon at the office, I was trying to decide which one I liked best.
At the office? So your boss, Mr. Clyde, must have just loved that.
Yes, he said my singing really sends him. It's just that he has so much work to do at the office, he can't go.
Oh, Irma, why don't you just forget this whole thing?
Oh, no, Jane, I'm sure I can sing. Don't forget they laughed at another singer, but now he's a millionaire.
What singer are you talking about?
The one who sells all those sewing machines. Well, listen, Jane, I'm going down to the dime store. So far, I have a Prisoner of Love, and Why Not Take All of Me and the others, but maybe I'll find something I like better.
Oh, all right, sweetie. Goodbye. Hello.
Who?
The community center? Oh, yes, Mr. Stirling.
What?
You received Irma Peterson's application to enter the singing contest.
What?
You're listening to all the 73rd Street contestants in a half an hour? Yes, I'll tell her you'll be here.
What?
Yes, I'll convey the same message to Mrs. O'Reilly. Thank you, Mr. Stirling. Goodbye. Come in.
Oh, Mr. Clyde.
Miss Stacy, excuse me for barging in like this. Is Irma Peterson here?
No, but she'll be right back. Why?
I want to fire her. I want to assassinate her. I want to... I don't know what I want to do to her.
Now, control yourself, Mr. Clyde.
I'm sorry, Miss Stacy. That girl has worked for me for some time, and I've put up with a lot. I didn't mind when she cut holes in my galoshes so the water would run out. And I could even take it when she had my desk painted and that put my new top coat over it so no one would get their hands wet. But what is this song title madness?
Well, Mr. Clyde, she's entering a singing contest, and she has song titles on her mind.
On her what? Miss Stacy, I dictated a letter to her yesterday, and I found this carbon copy. It's to my most important client. I'm supposed to be a lawyer, but when he gets this letter, I'll need one.
Well, let me see it. Dear Mr. Vanderbilt, I regret the Court of Appeals decided against us, but I trust you'll appreciate my position in this matter, as I am just a prisoner of love. Oh, no.
Continue.
Please remember that you have had my untiring efforts, my 30 years of experience, my unimpeachable integrity. So, why not take all of me?
There's more. Keep going.
I was considering enlisting the help of ex-Senator Bernard Sindel, but I have decided against this because he's too fat for me. Say.
There's nothing for you to say. If I lose this client, not only is Miss Peterson fired, but I'm going to sue her. Goodbye.
Mrs. O'Reilly! Mrs. O'Reilly!
Hello, Jane. Where's Chicken?
Al, let me ask you a sentimental question. Would you like to have Irma at your side through the years?
Couldn't think of anything better. Why?
Well, save a space for her in the unemployment line. She lost her job.
Lost her job? What's the matter with that girl? Is she going Hollywood?
Al, it's a long story. All I know is she just about lost her job. She hasn't got a nickel in the bank. She's wasted money on singing lessons, and she hasn't got a chance to win the contest. Now, Al, what are we going to do?
Oh, wait a minute, Jane. I think I hear her coming.
I'm just a prisoner of love.
Chicken, your prison days are over. Got a feeling you're about to be executed.
Why? Why, Al? What's happened?
I'll tell you, Irma. I just had a talk with Mr. Clyde, and he's disgusted with you. You're just about to lose your job.
And in that case, you're going to need that $30 you spent for lessons to tide you over. So you got to go back to that Beethoven music school and cry for your money. Give him a real sob story.
Oh, but I wouldn't know what to say.
Well, there's nothing to it. You simply say something like, you lost your job, and if you don't get the $30 back, you will have nothing to eat, and the children will starve. You got it, chicken?
Well, word for word.
Good. Let me hear it.
All right, now let's see. I want the $30 back because I'm starved and I have nothing to eat but the children.
Hold it, chicken. You got the right words, but they sound like they went through the mix-mash.
Oh, Al, you know she won't get it right. Besides, there are no refunds.
Yes, and I'm determined to go through with the contest.
Okay, chicken. When our backs are against the wall and there ain't no time to stall, there's only one man to call.
Who, Al?
Who else but...
Hello, Joe.
Al, got a problem. Irma is entering a contest in the community center. How can I make sure she wins when she sings? Huh? You don't like people who sing? Oh, why not, Joe? Mm-hmm. Your brother did some singing to the district attorney and they almost tracked your whole gang. Can understand your point. So I guess you can't help us, but thanks for the effort and goodbye, noble friend.
Come in.
Hello, folks. Jamie, the professor here told me you called me.
Yes, I did, Mrs. O'Reilly. Mr. Sterling from the community sing call. He's going to audition all the applicants in this block and he'll be here any minute.
Any minute? Glory be. I'd better try my voice. Oh, la, la, oh, well, my notes seem to be nice and pear-shaped.
Why not? You're built like one.
Why, you tattered old Toscanini, you.
Mrs. O'Reilly, please, I'm only fooling. You know that to me, you look like a queen.
Well, that's better.
Queen Mary and Dryden.
Now listen here, you.
Oh, please be still, will you? Someone's at the door. Come in.
Good evening. I am Mr. Sterling.
Oh, yes, you called.
I hope I'm not late. I've been listening to all the applicants on this block, and I must say, up to this point, 72nd Street has it all over for 73rd Street.
Well, we're going to change that.
Are you Irma Peterson?
Oh, no, I am. But listen to Mrs. O'Reilly first, because I'm trying to memorize the words in my song.
All right, Mrs. O'Reilly, what are you going to sing?
Well, I was going to sing a little Welsh number called Lost in the Wilderness.
Inspired by a visit to my room.
But instead I'll sing The Last Rose of Summer.
Let's hear it.
Well, here we go. Ready, Professor?
Ready.
Is the last rose of summer left blooming alone on her lovely companion? Are they dead and gone?
That's very interesting. And, and now, Miss Peterson, what are you going to say?
Well, I was going to sing I'm Just a Prisoner of Love, but I forgot the words, so I'll sing Wednesday, Tuesday, because any child can remember that.
I'll accompany you, my darling. You ready? One, two.
Wednesday, Tuesday, I'll kiss you, Z. Hey, Jane, what comes after Tuesday?
Try Threezy.
Threezy? Jane, are you sure it's Threezy?
Yes, didn't you just sing Tuesday?
Yes, but I thought Wednesday came after Tuesday.
If you don't mind, Miss Peterson, I'll come back when you know what day it is. Goodbye.
Well, don't cry, Irma, darling.
Well, she's got plenty to cry about. She spent her last $30, she's out of the contest, and to make things simply adorable, she's lost her job.
But don't forget, she still got me.
That still leaves the score nothing to nothing.
This is the blackest day of my life.
Oh, you always say that.
Well, this is really dark black. Come in. Oh, it's you, Mr. Clyde.
Look, Miss Peterson, I'm a square-dealing man, and I always say what's on my mind. That letter you sent to our client who lost $50,000 in that case yesterday.
Yes?
Well, he just called me. He said he laughed at your letter so much he forgot his losses and gave me another case.
What?
And to show my appreciation, you're rehiring, and here's a $50 bonus.
Oh, I'm so happy I could sing.
You do, and I'll take back the money.
Well, that's the end of Irma's musical career. Lily Pons can now breathe easy again. And thanks to Mr. Clyde's generosity, Irma has $50. Irma, what are you going to do with the $50?
Oh, I think we ought to get the piano back. I need it.
Honey, you never touched the piano. What do you mean you need it?
Well, every time Al kissed me, I used to lean against the piano. Now I'm liable to fall out the window.
And you know something? She may fall out of the window head first, but believe me, she'll land on her feet if I know my friend Irma.